There's a verse in James that says, my dear brothers and sisters, be quick to listen, slow to speak, and slow to get angry. I think that's a great parenting verse. It doesn't say be quick to hear, be quick to listen. Here, I'm hearing the words or I'm hearing the anger. I need to listen to what's going on and listen down in there. As a parent, I want to look beneath my child's behavior and see what they're signaling me.
You're listening to Parenting Today with Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries. I'm your host, Ruthie J, this week talking about signal behavior. Yesterday, we kind of defined what it is. It's just behavior that's a little out of the ordinary that might be showing that there's something else going on inside, and that maybe there are no words that are found to describe. Kids don't know what's really going on.
They don't understand. Yeah.
And how would a 2-year-old or 3-year-old...
Or 12-year-old.
Yeah. I mean, they have feelings. We all have feelings. But being able to help the child describe the feelings will help them later in life. You know, you were upset all day today because you're really sad that this, you know, grandma passed away or something like that. Being able to identify why the anger exists and deal with it. And like you say, it doesn't excuse the behavior, but teaching them how to identify the reason for their feelings, I think will help them also in the future.
I think as couples, we forget that our children are listening to everything we say to each other. And all of a sudden in the morning at leaving for breakfast, mom and dad get in an argument. It gets a little heated. Dad goes out and slams the door and the children have no clue what to do with that.
Yeah.
And so all of a sudden there's a fear, you know, and the fear is, sometimes fear is easy. Fear is lightning going off near the house in the middle of the night and Roby coming racing down the hallway and diving into the bed because he's fearful. We know what that is. He's signaling us. It's not really running down the hall to be in bed. It's running down the hall because I'm scared. When my mom and dad are in an argument or yelling or whatever, and it's just, wow, how do I deal with that? And all of a sudden I'm in a bad mood, which mom is saying, thinking to herself, I don't need this. I just had this with my husband and now I've got this disruptive behavior with this child. Stopping. You do have to deal with the behavior, but at the same time, we do have to decide, okay, there's something deeper here. Mm-hmm. We have frightened our child.
Mm-hmm.
We have frightened our child, and I need to calm my child down. But I think it all begins with understanding that one of the most important jobs of parenting is teaching a child that feelings are real and that you need to learn to talk about your feelings. What scared you? What hurt your feelings? And beginning that process. And they're going to make a mess of it. I feel, or whatever it is,
right,
when you give them the feelings word. But that's where you're, you know, my dear brothers, be quick to listen. We're not quick to listen anymore. We see a disruptive behavior and we're coming in like gangbusters.
Mm-hmm.
And we're speaking and we're angry rather than not just hear the noise, hear the unacceptable behavior, but listen, all right, what's going on here? And I do think sometimes we have to ask God for a little help. What in the world is going on here?
Yeah. And there'll be moments where I think you'll want to sit and talk, but the child is still heated up. I mean, you have to have wisdom also when to talk to the child, especially if they've really gone off the handle.
You need to sit in that seat and let me look you right in the eye, honey. Do not get out of that seat. And if it's a 5 or 6-year-old, you may need to sit in the seat next to them,
mm-hmm,
have your hand on their little leg and help them stay in that seat. But you want to give them the privilege, the exercise, the discipline of calming themselves down. I watched Tori. It was unbelievable yesterday. It was at its best. He was in a rotten mood and he was whiny. Reuben was, 3-year-old Reuben. And he comes in and Tori says, you need to go back in the guest bedroom right off of our kitchen. We're in the kitchen. The guest bedroom's right off the kitchen at our house. And you need to stay in there until you're a happy boy. And so he turns around. He goes into the bedroom because he knows if he doesn't go in the bedroom, there's another consequence. He goes in the bedroom. He stayed a little longer than I thought he would. And he kind of sat in the middle of the floor and he's looking around. And all of a sudden he realized, I can go back now. And he comes back in and Tori says, are you a happy boy now? He says, I'm a happy boy.
Oh my gosh.
Got it. But what she was doing was what we did with her. We call it happy girls. You're not a happy girl right now, and you need to turn around and come back. Instead of whining, I don't want this, and I don't, and you don't. Turn around and come and talk properly. And what happened over the years of learning that, Tori could actually do a pirouette. Instead of turning around and going into the room, she could turn around and be happy. She got it.
Wow.
She was taking captive her emotions. She was taking captive every thought.
Okay, so just on that point then, let's say here in my situation, that wasn't quite the lesson that was taught with my stepkids. And I think in my household, there's a little more permission for expression of feelings. And if you're in a bad mood, leave the person alone for a little while,
mm-hmm,
and then later deal with it.
Mm-hmm.
So, but they're already, half of them are teenagers already. Mm-hmm. How?
Well, that's the kids we get here at Sheridan House. And that was me. and I think that's most kids today, where we're so busy, we haven't held them responsible for their moods. We haven't held them responsible for their outbursts. We've kind of taken responsibility for their outbursts. And what we do is we go in and try to make it work or cave in or whatever. Okay, this time. And what we've done is we don't realize we have trained an entire society that you get what you want by outburst. You're almost entitled to an outburst. You know, if it feels good, do it. Mm-hmm. And we've not raised them up to be competent, impulse-controlled adults. So I have to help that child realize you need to sit down on the couch. And if you don't sit down on the couch after dinner, life is over. You're going to bed. Now, stop. You know this happened last week and you know you went to bed early. I don't want you to go to bed early, but we are helping you control you right now. You need to stop. You're getting on the verge of saying some very nasty things. Now, when that child cranks it up anyway, because that child's had years of, number one, unacceptable behavior, but number two, there's a lot of things going on in the lives of a lot of children. And what happens is they grow up and do unacceptable behaviors to deal with their pain, even to the point of cutting. Mm-hmm. And other things. Cutting, children, most vast majority of girls, don't do cutting or other things, other self-mutilation things. They don't do those things because that's fun to do. They do those things because that's learned as a unacceptable as it is way to deal with mm-hmm. feelings and pain they don't know how to express. And so what we want to do is stop them in their tracks. And if they don't go sit down, then we see to it that they're sent someplace and they're calm and you stay there to keep them calm. And yes, it takes time. It takes a lot of time to do this. But if you don't take time now, you'll come visit us at Sheridan House later. And so it's worth it taking the time now, because if you don't take time now, they'll go visit a counselor later mm-hmm. and help them. And at some point, as you've dealt with the behavior, okay, now I want you, number one, to tell me how we got here. Well, she, tell me how we got here. And then after we talk through that a little bit, as we're calming them down, number two, what's a better way to handle that? Let's think through a better way to handle it. Let me say, it's going to take years. If a child reaches like they reach at Sheridan House and they've had years at 12 years old of this behavior was enabled, then it's going to take a year or two to defeat it. Yeah. Mm-hmm. But what happens is we're empowering the child to take control over their emotions rather than them walking around through life with an easy button on their chest.
And their heart on their sleeve.
Yeah. Any circumstance pushes that button for them. Here's a great quote, and I'm not going to get it right. It's by Samuel Peeples, where he says, circumstances, difficult people, or difficult events don't make you who you are. They reveal who you are. And so something happens to me, somebody says something to me, something is done to me that's not nice, and it doesn't make me like that. It reveals really what's going on in here mm-hmm. when I lash out big, more emotionally and more inappropriately than was deserving of that circumstance.
Now, I understand the whole, we shouldn't lash out. We do need to control our outbursts and all that. But isn't there a place, though, for a little mood? Isn't there a place? I mean, I cannot envision the 12-year-old going into a room and saying, you better turn around and be a happy girl to come back to dinner. I mean, mm-hmm. it's just not going to happen, at least in my house.
It's not going to happen unless we mean it. In the 12-year-olds in our 12 and 13-year-olds in our world, and I will first let me give a caveat here. It's seriously more dramatic on our girls' campus than on our boys' campus. Goodness. Yes, the girls' campus
I'm sure.
is a very different cloud.
And then you get Latinas in there. Forget it's a whole different level.
You know, I think the whole female gender is Latin. and so, yes, it's a little more dramatic. But sometimes I'm wondering if it's not a little more dramatic because it's expected to be more dramatic and it's accepted as being more dramatic. Where the boy grows up, and rather than emotion, anger and punching a hole in the wall, has kind of been the acceptable male emotion. We have to help our children, train them up in the way they should go so that when they're old, they won't depart from it. And they'll become adults, competent, godly adults. But I also have to see this. All right, there's a signal here. Something's wrong here. It's not working right. This child is mad and doing this behavior. And maybe they're just doing this behavior because this is the behavior they've been taught when something happens to them. Or maybe they're doing this behavior because I'm sad inside. Mm-hmm. I'm sad my mom and dad are divorced. I'm sad I don't get the Norman Rockwell life. And I don't know how to say that. And part of life is to grow up and realize no one gets the Norman Rockwell life. You know, it's like, wow. Watching several Thanksgivings ago, a single mom and her kids having Thanksgiving dinner. And my wife has lots of people at Thanksgiving sometimes. And in the old days, I mean, lots and lots of people. And I watched one of the kids, Rosemary and I were having a discussion concerning something in the kitchen. And it was a disagreement. And I don't even know why I was involved in the whole Thanksgiving meal scenario anyway. And watching, and we turned around and we watched this little 9-year-old boy watching the Barneses have a disagreement in the kitchen. And it made us laugh watching him. But we realized, wow, so do some people think we agree all the time? Mm-hmm. You know, Bob Barnes is about as dysfunctional as it gets. And so, wow. I think we have this illusion that when I grow up, I'm going to have this and it's never going to be because I watched my parents do this. And then you add to some real dysfunction in a child's life. I don't have any place to dump that. And I don't have any place to go fishing with Grandpa in Mayberry and I'm Opie and I'm there with Barney and Andy and expressing all this stuff. And Aunt B is helping me understand all this stuff. Unfortunately, we do need somebody. And there are times in the life of your child when they just need to, I need somebody to talk to me. I don't know that I need that. I don't even know that I want that. But there's an inner me. I don't know what's going on in my life and it's not working out like I thought. Mm-hmm. And so I'm going to do this behavior and it's the alarm that goes off in the house. And sometimes that alarm child, that signal behavior child is just one of all the children. Sometimes there's
we have four and there's one he is the thermostat. He just shows what's going on.
You can tell.
Yeah.
And that child, I don't know if they had a vote. I don't know if the kids got together and drew straws. You're going to be the one to have this.
God picks and chooses.
Oh, yeah. You're going to be the one to have the behavior to show we've discovered yet another dysfunction or pain here.
Mm-hmm. But then let's talk about that one child then that is the barometer of what's really going on in the house. And they have this way of shutting down on you. You want to talk to them, you want to get out, and you're trying to be pleasant about it, and they're just being downright difficult. They don't want to share anything. They don't even want to talk about it. I don't want to talk about it.
I don't know how to talk about it. You're asking me to do something I don't know how to do. Sit down and talk to me. One of the things we had to learn in the boys' program is it's not going to be sitting down in chairs and looking at each other. We had to take them for a walk. We had to go do something. We had to
sometimes forcefully.
We have to, yes, we're going for a walk. We're going
but
for
I don't
a walk.
Want to.
I know. Me neither, but we're going for a walk.
Okay.
And be honest with you, I would never say me neither. I would think me neither.
Right.
But, you know, it's like Tori on our Wednesday breakfast when she said to me when she was about 12 years old, and we get up every morning, even when she was a toddler, we get up every Wednesday morning and opened up breakfast. And then when Roby arrived, we alternated Wednesdays. And there was one Tuesday night when she said, do I have to go to breakfast tomorrow? I don't want to get up early and go to breakfast. And I had to say, we're going to breakfast because I need this. I need this. And I'm looking down the hall at Rosemary and she's thinking, oh boy, that was a stretch right there. Because we'd sit there sometimes and she wouldn't talk, but I'm investing and I'm listening and I'm asking open-ended questions. And, you know, yesterday you come home from school and you seem so sad. Is there something? And I would just leave sentences empty and see if she could start to talk. And no, it wasn't until she was about 15 or 16 where she became an adult conversationally because she had been given permission. If you think this is a one venture walk, we're going to walk and all of a sudden the whole world is going to open up. That's fantasy land.
Right.
This is an ongoing investment in this child because there's stuff down in there that I've buried and stuffed and tamped down. And all of a sudden I have these outbursts that I don't like my life the way it is. And I don't even know why. And I don't even know how to talk, but I also don't feel important anymore. I don't know how to say those things. Mm-hmm. Adults don't know how to say those things.
Right.
And, you know, I'm going to say it was Rosemary that taught me how to say those things. I mean, I arrived in marriage and I was very nonverbal for the first 8 years. And you wouldn't think it because this is what I do all day.
You're talking all the time.
And counseling all day long. But I got home and the stuff that was me, the inner me, I didn't know how to say, I don't understand you and I don't understand you sexually and I don't understand what romance means to you and I just don't understand these things. But she would help me and she would set aside time and turn the television off. And so it'd be very valuable. We've got to reach into that child's life. And we've got to decide to start opening this thing. And there's a lock. I mean, there's a combination lock. And no one's told us the combination. We've got to give the child the time to go after it because they're signaling. They're about to explode. And we want to reach down. We want to respond properly to signal behavior.
You're listening to Dr. Bob Barnes from Sheridan House Family Ministries here on Parenting Today. I'm your host, Ruthie J. And this week, obviously talking about signal behavior. If you missed yesterday's program, you can hear it again online at parentingtoday.org, or you can also hear today's program, even share it on Facebook, Twitter, and many ways, and sign up for the daily email blog that corresponds with the program. If you want to bless Sheridan House Family Ministries because you have been helped out by the advice here, or you want to look for additional resources to help you in your parenting, even in your marriage, there's a bunch of them online at shfm.org. All the resources go to help out the ministry, too. It's short for Sheridan House Family Ministries. The site, again, is shfm.org. And we hope you'll join us tomorrow for our Wednesday edition on this topic of signal behavior here on Parenting Today.